Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana in the house, and great stuff that they do there. Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana is a nonprofit that receives no government funding. You're not paying for it, but if you donate, you can make a big difference. The entire program is run off donations. They're responsible, which is incredible, for the arrest of over 5,000 criminals. Not in the country. We're talking in Indianapolis alone.
Woohoo.
That's a lot.
Yep.
Sad, but it's great that they can do that. All donations are tax deductible. Help keep Indianapolis safe by donating online at crimetips.org. All right, Ashley Flowers, good to have you with us this morning. What are we talking about today? Something about a box?
We're talking about the boy in the box.
Okay.
And this story starts on a cold day in February of 1957 in a small town in Pennsylvania. A young man is walking in the woods when he spots a large discarded box, not supposed to be there. So, of course, he goes and checks it out. Inside the box, he finds the nude body of a small, clearly deceased boy.
Dude, can I just tell you, and I mean, this is going to sound messed up, and it's not that you want someone to die, but for someone like you and I that is obsessed with this stuff, that's like a dream come true to stumble upon that and be like the one to get to report it.
Hold on,
and like try to figure it out.
Alex says it's
true.
A dream come true. Ashley, you're expecting a package from Amazon today. A little boy's inside. How do you feel?
I mean, I don't want it to be a little boy, but I definitely, every time I'm walking my dog, I'm like looking in the weeds for a leg.
I'm dead serious.
I don't know how these women do it.
Being able to be the person to like discover that and like and be the one to call the cops and all that, I mean, it's just like wild. Because then you're like a part of the investigation.
Yeah, and they think you're a part of it.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be the good part to be involved. Just the helping get it solved. So he sees this box.
He sees this box, finds the boy, but he doesn't tell police right away because he waits a day to come forward. And at first he tells police, like, I know that rabbits are in this area and there's traps, so I saw a rabbit run. I was going to go get this rabbit in a trap. A little bit of probing, and they find out that really he was in the woods spying on a girl's school because there was this girl that he was obsessed with and he was, like, stalking her. So they dismiss him as a suspect, but they have to find out, like, what is going on here. So they process the scene, and what they find is this boy is between 4 and 6 years old. He's completely nude, but wrapped in a blanket. He has been, like, severely malnourished. This kid is 3 feet 3 inches tall, and he only weighed 30 pounds.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
30 pounds. I mean, you could see his ribs severely malnourished. His cause of death was a head wound, and he had a ton of very deep bruises all over his body. But what police found when they looked at these bruises is that they all came at one time. He had no real history of abuse. When they did x-rays, he had no previous broken bones. In fact, it looked like for a long time, he had been really well taken care of because he had these scars on his chin, groin, and ankle that actually looked like they were from medical procedures. And when the police looked at one of his eyes, it like luminesced under the light, which means he had some kind of like eye procedure as well. So it looked like someone had been taking care of him for a long time. And then just recently...
Man, that's a lot of surgeries for a kid that age.
Right. Recently, things went very wrong. Now, here's the really interesting thing that they found. His nails had recently been trimmed. He had this brown substance in his esophagus. And his feet, both of his feet, one of his palms, were pruned as if he had been in water for a long time before death. And they know it's before because after death, if you're in water, you actually just swell up. You don't prune up.
Interesting.
And the last thing that was super bizarre is his hair was crudely cut. And like tufts of it were all over his body. So his hair was cut either right before he died or right after death. And it was a bad haircut. It like was not done by a professional. So police have all this evidence and they're thinking, surely someone's going to come forward. Someone is missing a son, a brother, a cousin. So they wait, but no one comes forward. So they have to slowly start picking apart each clue. And the first clue they look at is the box itself. The box was for a bassinet. There were flecks of white paint inside, so they knew it was a white bassinet.
and it actually had a serial number on it.
Ooh, I love when this stuff happens.
Yeah, now you got your person, right? You can figure it out.
Well, they're able to trace this box. Basically, it was like a shipment of 12 bassinets, and they trace it to a JCPenney store that's just 15 miles away from where he was dumped, so they know they're close.
Ooh.
But JCPenney at the time only operated in cash.
Whoa.
So they could not track down who actually purchased the bassinet. Now, they put out a call out to the public, and 11 of the 12 people end up being found, except for that 12th person who they assume either was part of the boy's family or was the boy's killer who owned that bassinet.
Oh, man.
When that doesn't pan out, they look at a hat that's found nearby. And it was a blue corduroy hat that was actually customized, was a special size. And there's a label inside to a small local company. And when they go question the owner, she says that she actually remembers selling that specific hat because she had to customize it for this guy. And she said the guy was between his like 20s and 30s, and he looked a lot like the dead boy.
Could be the dad.
Could be the dad. But again, this goes nowhere. So when still no one has come forward, they do something that I don't think they would do today. They dress the boy up in like clothes that he would normally be wearing.
I don't like where this is going.
They sit him up in a chair.
No, this sounds like Weekend at Bernie's.
And they take a photo of him.
No!
I'm kidding. I have the picture on my Instagram at Indy Ash Flowers.
Bro.
They use that picture to distribute because they say, oh, well, if we just show a picture of a dead boy, no one recognizes a dead boy. But if we try and make him look alive,
like put makeup on him,
maybe someone will recognize him. So even this picture brings no new leads.
Oh my gosh.
No one has seen this boy. And that's when one investigator makes a suggestion. Maybe they shouldn't be looking for a boy at all.
Ooh.
All right, Murder Monday continues next with special guest Ashley Flowers. We're talking about, so disturbing, the boy in the box. Hang on.
You can see pictures of what he looked like. Instagram at Joe and Alex Show.
All right, Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. The story just keeps on getting weirder and weirder.
Keeps on getting weirder. So an investigator is putting out all these flyers. No one can find this boy. So he's thinking, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be looking for a boy at all. You would think if a boy was missing, even if the family killed him, friends or neighbors should be saying, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
He said, so maybe we should be looking for a girl.
Okay, can't they just, I mean, this child was found naked. You see what they look like downstairs.
No, he's for sure a boy. But
I was like, does he have one or not?
No, what he's saying is maybe this family had dressed him up as a girl.
This is wild.
Why no one knows that a boy is missing, because they know a girl is missing. So,
oh, wait a minute. The hair being cut.
Everything kind of pieces together. So he had his fingernails cut, so he could have had long fingernails.
Oh, my god!
He had just had his hair cut, and based on the length, it would have been like shoulder-length hair.
Right.
And something I didn't mention before is his eyebrows had been plucked.
Ooh, so that wouldn't happen to a boy.
Could look very feminine. So what they do is, I have a picture of this on my Instagram as well, is they have a forensic artist basically draw up a sketch of what this boy would look like as a girl.
Wow.
And they distribute this just like they distributed the other creepy photos of him sitting up. And
wait, so did they dress him up like a girl too?
No.
I was like,
just a drawing. Just a drawing. That would have been really, really rude. So they distribute these pictures, and again, though, this is a great lead,
yeah,
but nobody recognizes this girl, and nobody says a girl's missing. So other theories start to emerge. A man in Philly comes forward and says that he was a landlord, and he rented a place to a man who sold his son. And so he said that this man comes in with it's him and a boy, and then he ends up selling his boy. And
selling him where? To who?
To another family. And this kind of makes sense because it would explain why for a long time this boy looked like he had been taken care of and then suddenly he wasn't.
Like, you think it was like a sex trafficking situation, or do you think he was just trying to adopt him out, or what?
I think he was trying to adopt him out. Back in the day, it actually wasn't super unlikely for kids to go live with uncles or other people when the families couldn't afford to take care of them anymore. Mm-hmm. And when you think about all the medical problems that this kid was having, he was a very expensive child. So
that's true.
He says this guy sold his kid to another family, and the guy, he says, looked a lot like the boy. But again, this lead kind of goes nowhere. So another lead that comes up is just a couple of miles away from where the boy was found, there was a foster home. And in this foster family, they have 8 kids. Now, all kids are accounted for, but there's a teenage girl who lived at the house. She's the stepdaughter of the guy who runs the home. And they thought maybe she had a boy. Maybe she had given birth and they hid it because it was 1957. You know, have a baby out of wedlock.
Move away something.
These theories are just extraordinary.
Right. And they think maybe something happened. Like either the boy was too much to take care of and so they killed him and got rid of him. Or maybe it was some kind of accident and then the family got rid of him. But that's why there's really no record of him. Now, they track down, they do find that this woman, actually this girl, had a boy.
No way.
And he died, but he died in the craziest way. It wasn't the boy in the box. There's a morgue record for him. He died by getting electrocuted by one of those penny horses at the grocery store.
No, right? I love the penny horses. Yes, they're so fun as a kid.
So bizarre. But again, nothing comes of it. It's not the boy in the box. He did, though, go back years later, and that house was for sale, and they were doing an estate sale. And the investigator found a white bassinet there.
No way.
Yes way.
Well, that has to be them.
So again, we're talking like 1998 now. The original investigator's gone. People go back to reinvestigate because they still want to know why it hasn't been solved. They take DNA tests. By the way, the stepdaughter is now married to the dad.
Ew. So of the foster home?
Of the foster home.
Ew.
Who are you to judge love?
Well, there's some weird stuff going on there.
Right. As weird as the situation is, the DNA test proved that it wasn't her son. So there were other theories that emerged. Like one was about this carnival family. And they basically found they had 10 kids. 7 of the 10 kids had died from neglect and malnourishment.
Whoa.
All 7 were dumped in the woods.
There you go.
How are you starving to death as a carny? You have all those food things right there. You got elf in ears, corn dogs. Come on.
Even this, though, they were able to eliminate this family. They were back at square one, and decades go by. And it seems that every lead leads nowhere, and perhaps this boy may never have a name. Until.
Ooh!
A woman known only as M tells her therapist a really interesting story that may have solved this decades-old case.
This is good. This is some good stuff right here. You can see pictures at Joe and Alex Show on Instagram. Tweet along, hashtag Murder Monday on Twitter.
All right, Ashley Flowers, let's please get a conclusion to this story that's got so many twists and turns. It's the boy in the box.
Right. So years and years, decades pass with absolutely no conclusion to this story. And a woman known only as M comes forward and tells her therapist this really disturbing story. And her therapist kind of pieces together her story and what she's known about this boy in the box, which at this point is basically an urban legend.
So, like, what year are we talking that this girl's in therapy?
This is like late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay. Wow.
So her therapist convinces M to go to the police. And here is the story that M tells to the police. In the summer of 1954, her mother purchased a boy whose name is Jonathan from his birth parents. And M says that the boy was bought as a sex slave.
And I knew it. I freaking knew it.
Yeah, but you say that for everything, though.
Because it's a real thing that's going on. It always is, man.
So Jonathan, this boy, and M were sexually abused, and Jonathan was subject to extreme physical abuse. And she said one evening at dinner, he was eating a meal of baked beans when he vomited up his dinner.
Mm.
And so he really upset the mother. She started to beat him, hit his head against the floor super hard. So at this point, he's semi-conscious, and she goes to give him a bath, during which he died. So a lot of this story adds up to what they found, because if you remember, they found that brown substance in his esophagus.
It's the beans.
The bean stuff.
And what they never released was there were some baked beans in his stomach
well.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Also, this would explain why he had pruned feet and one of his palms, because he was in that bathtub for so long.
He was in the water.
And no one could really explain why it was just one of his palms, but if you were thinking if he's semi-conscious and they're trying to like stand him up, maybe they had one of his palms or one of his hands outside of the bathtub.
Wow.
So, and it would also explain why he seemed to have been taken care of for so long and then neglected. Like, if he was purchased, his birth family probably was taking care of him. Also, if you remember the first story I told, the theory about the landlord, this kind of fits that as well. Both stories could be true. Jonathan could be the boy that was purchased from the guy in our initial theory. So she said once her mother realized that the boy was dead, she cut his hair in an effort to make sure no one recognized him. And she said that he wasn't being passed off as a girl. He just wasn't being taken care of. She didn't want to cut his hair. She didn't want to invest any time into him. And she said that her mother forced her to help her go dump the body. So basically, they put the boy in the trunk. The box was never a part of it. So when they drive this boy out, they drive to the woods, and there's actually a man that comes up to them, like, while they're pulled over. And the mother tells M to go stand in front of the license plate so the guy won't, like, remember them or have any way to identify them later. And the mother convinces this guy to go away, and they go into the woods to dump the boy. And that is where they find the box. And what investigators never told anyone is there was a man who had come forward years earlier to say that, listen, I had dumped a box there just to get rid of trash, but I had nothing to do with it.
Whoa.
So this kind of pieces everything together as well. So much of her story adds up, but police weren't able to verify it.
How?
Many of the neighbors that they talked to said that they never saw a boy that this...
Well, yeah, if he's being kept as a sex slave, it's like they're not going to bring him out in the open and be like, hi, look at our son.
Exactly, exactly. So this M woman is basically saying, listen, I swear this happened.
I
know this happened. Of course, we're not going to bring out a boy that we purchased to be a sex slave and are malnourishing, like not taking care of. So they're never able to identify this boy. Still to this day, he's
so
identified.
Sad.
I kind of have a weird theory that's never brought up online, so I might be bananas.
What?
But I think maybe whoever purchased him or had him wanted a girl. So they did pass him off as a girl, but as he became older, it was just harder to pass him off as a girl. And it probably got to the point where they couldn't anymore. And that's why he was killed, or he died of an accident, and they got rid of him.
Interesting. I don't know. I believe the sex slave theory.
Well, I know you believe that. That is an incredible story, though, this morning.
Wow, that was good.
The boy in the box. Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers in Central Indiana. Thank you so much.